What is language like? Conversations are lightning fast exchanges where we speak, listen, and understand in the blink of an eye. It only takes about 200 milliseconds for someone to respond to a question. That's as quick as blinking. And in every 60 words spoken, you'll likely catch at least one or thrown in there. Even the most straightforward chat is a marvel of timing and precision. When we talk, we're not just throwing words around. We're following rules and guidelines that we might not even realize exist. Ever find yourself saying, huh, or who, to make sure you heard right? That's our brains making sure we're on the same page. It's like we're all part of this incredible conversation machine, constantly linking words together in ways that make sense to everyone involved. And get this, the way we take turns in conversation changes depending on the language we're speaking. Imagine if aliens visited Earth and observed how we communicate. Experts like Noam Chomsky suggest they might assume we speak only one language because of how we take turns and use common sounds like and huh. But it's more than just words. There's a rhythm to our conversations. A mere 1 second pause could mean different response times, showing how finely tuned our interactions are. We also pick up on nonverbal cues and help each other keep conversations flowing smoothly. Conversation has rules. Conversations have norms beyond just grammar. For example, when someone asks you something, they expect a response. Even if you don't have much to say, it's important to acknowledge them or explain why you can't respond. Also, if someone asks a question to someone else nearby, it's polite to let that person answer without interrupting. These rules help conversations run smoothly. Managing conversations requires a special way of thinking, like a team or a dance troupe. In a conversation, people don't just act alone, they work together towards a common goal. For example, dancers hitting the same spot simultaneously, they're acting as a unit. Similarly, in a chat, everyone's got shared intentions. So, when someone asks you the time, it's like a moral duty to reply, even if you're not sure. You can bend the rules of the question-answer game as long as you give some kind of response. When it comes to asking for favors, there's a protocol. You don't just dive in. You gotta signal your intent by saying, "Can you do me a favor?" The other person might say something like, "Well, it depends on what you need." That's their way of saying they're open to hearing you out. More than etiquette. Conversational rules go beyond mere politeness. They offer a roadmap for meaningful exchanges, allowing us to connect through personal stories and ideas. Here's why they matter. 1. Strategic timing. By reserving floor time before speaking, you can carefully plan what you want to say, ensuring clarity and coherence in your message. 2. Active engagement. Taking turns in conversation allows for active listening and comprehension from both sides, promoting mutual understanding and agreement. 3. Relationship building. Engaging in verbal interactions on shared topics helps strengthen bonds with others, enhancing rapport and connection. Not following the rules of conversation can lead to social consequences. In the 1960s, UCLA sociologist Harold Garfinkel asked his students to see how people reacted when he broke the rule of not asking for details that weren't mentioned. One conversation went like this. Person A said, "I had a flat tire." Person B replied, "What do you mean? You had a flat tire?" Person A, surprised, responded, "What do you mean by what do you mean? A flat tire is just that. Nothing special. What a strange question." In such situations, when someone breaks conversational rules, others can feel uncomfortable and even angry. They might think the person is acting strangely or may have a mental health issue. Split-second timing. In conversations, timing is crucial. People take turns speaking instead of talking over each other. If they accidentally start talking at the same time, they quickly resolve it. The duration and speaker of each turn are flexible. Rarely do people agree on topics beforehand. Linguists suggest that people signal when they're ready to stop talking. This could be through a lower pitch or specific hand or eye movements. However, there is a delay of more than half a second before someone can respond, as the brain needs time to process thoughts and formulate a response. When someone gives you a picture of an animal, it takes your brain about 600 milliseconds to figure out what it is and then say it out loud. But maybe people show signs beforehand that they're about to stop talking. Speech patterns, the unspoken language of communication. Communication is more than just words. It's about rhythm and timing. Margaret Thatcher, the former UK Prime Minister, faced interruptions during interviews because her speech pattern differed from the norm. Instead of the typical drop in tone at the end of a sentence, she paused mid-sentence before continuing. This often led to misunderstandings, with people either trying to seize control of the conversation or missing the cues to take their turn speaking. The speed at which you speak can significantly impact your interactions. For instance, Scandinavians humorously poke fun at the slower pace of speech among people from southern Finland. Consider this. Two brothers walk to work in the morning. One remark, "It's here that I lost my knife." Hours later, on their way home, the other brother finally catches on, asking, "Your knife, you said?" In bustling places like Manhattan, interruptions during conversations are common. Across the globe, languages vary in how quickly people speak. In a recent study of 10 languages, English ranks as average, with speakers taking about 236 milliseconds to respond to questions. The 1-second window. In conversations, a natural 1-second window exists for responding to requests. If you hesitate beyond this brief pause, your listener might assume you're going to say no. For instance, if a friend asks you to drop by on your way somewhere, and you pause for 1.7 seconds before answering, they might think you're about to decline. To ease this potential awkwardness, your friend might quickly ask if it's too far or if you have the time. Such interactions illustrate how people support each other in conversations. Responding promptly, within this 1-second window, generally sounds appropriate to most people. The majority of English speakers take less than a quarter of a second between the end of a request and giving their answer. People typically prefer to respond positively rather than negatively, and they're more inclined to say yes than no. To soften a negative response, individuals often use filler words like and before saying no. Traffic signals. Sociologist Irving Goffman observed that using or in speech indicates a need for time to think. Suggests a longer pause, while indicates a shorter one. Starting with often signals a negative response. Interestingly, women tend to say more, while men prefer These cues show listeners that interruptions are unwelcome. Responses like hum and signal understanding. Psychologist Janet Bovelis studied how people react to different listener responses. She found that successful communication requires an engaged audience. In an experiment, one person shared a story while the other stayed silent, counted days until Christmas, or signaled upon hearing words starting with T. Speakers struggled when they felt the listener was distracted, often making their stories longer due to lack of feedback. Humans naturally mimic each other in various ways during interactions. From matching speaking speed and tone to accent and vocabulary, we tend to mirror each other's behavior, even in nonverbal cues like head nodding and body posture. Interestingly, this mirrors the social behavior observed in some dolphin groups, where communication styles adapt within small circles. The glue of relevance. Imagine having a chat with someone out of the blue, with no prep and no script. We humans are champs at this. We don't need hand signals like some primates do to take turns talking. Instead, we rely on verbal cues. Think of it like a game of verbal ping pong. Each sentence we say connects to the next one, making what we say relevant. For example, Peter offers Mary coffee, and she responds with, "Coffee would keep me awake." She's not saying a direct yes or no, but we get it. She's passing on the coffee. In the middle of a chat, it's crucial to fix these slip-ups pronto. That's where your conversation partner comes in. If they catch your blunder, they'll nudge you with a simple, "Oh," or "Huh." It's like a teamwork thing, keeping the convo on track and accurate. We all pitch in to make sure our chat flows smoothly. You need to fix mistakes you make when talking, like saying someone's name wrong or getting a fact mixed up, as soon as you can. If you slip up, your listener should tell you right away, so you can fix it fast. They might say something like, "Oh, huh," or "Who." We're all working together to keep the conversation accurate. These kinds of other-initiated corrections from the listener show how important it is to everyone that the chat stays accurate. The universal word, "huh." Some experts say that words like, "huh," are more like simple grunts than actual words. Surprisingly, about 31 languages have their versions of "huh" that people use to indicate verbal mistakes. These languages come from 16 different language families, suggesting that similar terms might exist in other languages too. The fact that "huh" is universal shows how important it is in communication. It signals that the listener doesn't understand what's being said and is willing to pause the conversation to clarify. Its simplicity makes it easy to use, without any complex grammatical structure. The capacity for language. Understanding how sentences are put together can disclose the power of effective communication. Certain grammar guidelines, like structure dependence, help us form coherent messages. This means that grammar rules don't just apply to individual words, but to the overall message. For instance, sentences like "John ran away" and "away ran John" make sense, but "away ran boy" the doesn't. Another important rule is subjacency, which dictates where we can shift words in a sentence. For example, it's fine to use "what" to change "he bought a green shirt" to "what did he buy?" But it doesn't work to ask, "what did he buy a green?" One common rule people instinctively use is called recursion. It's the natural way we connect ideas. For example, if you start with a statement like, "he knew it," then you add, "Mary was a lawyer." Boom, now you've got, "he knew Mary was a lawyer." That's recursion in action. It's like building blocks for thoughts. And once you've got that complete thought, you can use it in the next sentence, like this: "Kim thought Bill said he knew Mary was a lawyer." Experts aren't sure if we're born with this skill or if we learn it over time. For instance, take Robin Dunbar. He spent years studying how humans communicate, and he watched Jellida baboons groom each other. But from that, he figured out that human language probably evolved as a way for us to bond in big groups. Key points. 1. Talking with others happens fast, like a well-oiled machine, because we all follow certain rules and timing. 2. Besides just grammar, there are unspoken rules in conversations, like answering questions and not interrupting. 3. Knowing when to talk and listen and sticking to the rules helps us connect better and understand each other. 4. Our body language and how we talk give signals to show when it's our turn to speak or listen. 5. Saying or gives us time to think, and "huh" helps when we don't understand something. 6. Using the right words and putting them together correctly helps us share ideas. 7. Fixing mistakes in conversation together quickly helps us keep chatting smoothly and accurately.